an exemplary Shliach Tzibur, long-term president of the Cantorial Council of America, a strong advocate in helping to further synagogue music, Nusach HaTfilah, and the Orthodox cantorate. Cantor Leon Kahn, Yehuda ben Yoel HaKohen, was a true Osek Betzorchei Tzibur Ve'emunah, one who occupied, involved himself with the needs of the community faithfully. Distinguished Rosh Yeshiva of our yeshivas, Rabbi Yitzchok Elchanan, Rabbi Reis, our dean, Rav Schechter, the family of Cantor Leon Kahn, Zichrono Livracha, Suri, Shena, Rabbi Weinrib, Rabbi Block, colleagues of the Cantorial Council of America, faculty of the Bell School of Jewish Music, Dr. Dobrinsky, Vice President of Yeshiva University. Ladies and gentlemen, we have gathered here at this time to pay tribute to the memory of Leon Kahn. We will listen to Divrei Nechama and recitations of Tehillim and Tfilos. The Cantorial Council of America is an affiliate of the Bell School of Jewish Music here at Yeshiva. As such, Leon served as president of CCA for a period of 11 years. And during his administration, he was often brought into contact with Rosh Yeshiva, with deans, professors of Yeshiva University, and he established a special relationship with Rav Schechter. He attended Rav Schechter's shiurim, in weekly shiurim in Forest Hills. He even took pride in the fact that he often drove him to the shiur. And he invited Rav Schechter a number of times to speak for us on Divrei Torah regarding tefillah, at our conventions, at our seminars, at midwinter conferences. Rav Schechter gave him a lot of chizuk. It is an honor for me to present to you Rav Schechter, Rav Herschel Schechter for Divrei Nechama.
Thank you very much. When the boys in the Beis Medrash were distributing the Mishnayos to make a seal for the Shloshim, so I chose to learn Maseches Sota and Maseches Erevin. The reason is that Leon used to come to my weekly shiur on Tuesday nights on a pretty regular basis, unless there would be a CTI meeting or something from the CCA. And the last two Masechtas that we learned together were Seita. We finished all Masechta and big chunks of Erevin. In Mishnayos Erevin, in the middle of Erevin, we have the din of Trum Shabbos and Trum Yontif, that a person is not permitted to go Chutz L'Trum. And if he wants to go past Alpayim Amo, so there are three ways to solve the problem. So one way is Erev Shabbos, Bein Hashmashos, before Shabbos begins, I'll walk to a location which will be within Alpayim Amo from where I want to stay, where my home is. I'll be kind of shvisa over there. That's called Ma'ariv Beraglav. I walk over there. I stay there during Bein Hashmashos. I'm kind of shvisa there. Then I can go back home, go to sleep. It's Torch Alpayim Amo. And my mokum is over there. Then I can go another Alpayim Amo past it. An easier way to solve the problem is to put a box of matzahs, or to put a jar of pickles, or to put some gefilte fish there, to leave some food over there. Wasn't Shtei Sudas, some kind of shvis over there, that's you make an erev et kohen. But then the Mishnah has a third way. The Mishnah has a situation, if the person is mishabo baderech, the choshkolo, the person is walking on the highway, and he knows that he's not going to make, on Friday afternoon, he knows he's not going to make it before Shabbos, and he knows a location which is within Alpai Mama of where he is now, and is also with Alpai Mama of his home where he wants to go tonight. So he can make a declaration and say, Shvisasa the Makam Pliny, I want to be kind of Shvis over there. And that's considered his Makam. Every person has to have a Makam, and there's a din al Yetzi Ishmim Komo, Bayayma Shabbos. Leon's Makam, my impression was, Leon's Makam was always the yeshiva and the Beis Medrash and the Bati Knesias and the shuls. Wherever he was always going back to the shul, all the different shuls he was affiliated with, and always going back to the yeshiva. He was a regular by the Kollel Yom Rishon. I think in all the years that they had it, I think he never missed a Sunday. I think so. That's what they say. He was the only one who came every single week. Religiously, he was mamish, a tenant. He was a tenant in the shuls that he was connected with, and a tenant in the yeshiva. Before we recite Tehillah LeDavid, the Gemara recommends one should recite Tehillah LeDavid three times a day, so we call it Ashrei. The first two psukim Ashrei are not really part of chapter Kuf Mem Hei. So Taisus and Brachas says that we don't follow that opinion of the Gaonim. They had a practice of reciting six psukim from Tehillim that begin with the word Ashrei. You look on the Machzor Vitri, they have all of the six psukim. So our practice is we only say two psukim. Why did we choose these two psukim? Rav Soloveitchik explained that we have in Tehillim the kapitel that was composed Shiramalas Lidovitz Samachta B'Yomrim Li Beis Hashem Nelech. There was a perek in Tehillim that they used to recite, and they would be on their way to be Ola Regal, but how excited they were to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Then we have another Perek in Tehillim, Perek Pei Dalet, which it seems, Rav Soloveitchik suggested, it would appear that this is the Perek in Tehillim that they would recite when they would leave the Beis HaMikdash. If they're visiting on Sholosh Regalim, and they would be on their way home, they would recite this Perek. Ma Yedidus Mishkan Esech Hashem Tzvokas, how beautiful, how wonderful, how lovable it is to be in the Beis HaMikdosh. We're going home, we have to go home, but we really feel that our real home is the Beis HaMikdosh. Nichsefo v'gam kol sanapshi l'chatzos Hashem. I would really love to remain at the Beis HaMikdosh, but I have to make a parnasa, I have to go back home. And then the pasuk continues, gam tzipo motza bayis ha-dror ken lo asher shoseh efrachehu, etc. Every animal has a makam. The behemoths have a makam, a location which they call home. The birds have a makam. So the David HaMelech says, my makam really is, this Libne Karach, this is not David HaMelech. And Tehillim he says, my makam really is the Beis HaMikdosh. And we have the Pasuk, Ashrei, Ashrei Beisecho, Od Yehalleluch HaSelo. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Pasuk doesn't say, Ashrei HaYoshvim BeBeisecho, that it's the praises of the people who happen to be located in the shul, or in the Beis HaMikdosh. No, it doesn't say HaYoshvim. Ashvei Yoshvei Beisecha. Yoshvei means that they're tenants of the Beis HaMikdash. They live there kavua. But we can't live kavua in the Beis HaMikdash. We go back home. But we feel, as we're on our way, we sing the Perek in Tehillim. We're excited to go. And on our way home, we recite this Perek that really we would prefer to stay in the Beis HaMikdash, but we can't help ourselves. But the Beis HaMikdash is really our makam. And then we recite the second pasuk, Ashrei Ha'am Shikach Alo, which is the concluding pasuk in the Kapitilim right before Tehillah LeDavid. The concluding pasuk in Perek Kuf Mem Dalet. What is that all about? Baruch Hashem Tzuri Hamlamad Yada LaKrovas Ba'isay Lamalchama. So the concluding, next to the last pasuk in that Perek and Tilim, Alufenu Mistubolam Mem Peretz Mem Yotzis Mem Tzvocha B'chor Baseinu. The Gemara says this pasuk used to be recited by the Talmid HaChamim who were leaving the Beis HaMedrash. They would learn in the Beis HaMedrash for a few years. Then they would take leave of the Beis HaMedrash. They would go home, say they would wish each other Hatzlocha, and they would recite Halafenu Misibolim, etc. And then they would conclude, Ashrei Ha'am Shekoch Alo. It's the praises of the people who feel that the Beis HaMedrash is their makam. My impression always was I used to go with Leon a lot of times on Tuesday night at the shiur. And very often we would travel together on the train on Friday mornings, going to the OU office, coming back on Friday afternoon from the OU office. My impression always was that he was a tenant in the yeshiva and a tenant in all the shuls that he was connected with. Lav davka one shul. He was Yeshve Beisecha, even when he wasn't in shul, wherever he was going, he felt as if that was his makam. Halavai, we should all have such a feeling. Yehi zichroi baruch.
Rav Schechter asked me to announce that he must go to a shiur that he's delivering in Brooklyn, so he has to leave at this time. Thank you. Leon was a devoted alumnus of Yeshiva University, and as many know, he made his presence well known here through the yeshiva and in Washington Heights. As you heard, he attended the weekly Kollel Yom Rishon. He was always present at special shiurim and special Yeshiva University events. And he organized sessions to promote Nusach HaTfilah at the Kollel Yom Rishon. His involvement very often brought him in contact with Rabbi Yonah Ries. It is my privilege at this time to call upon Rabbi Yonah Ries, the Max and Marion Grill Dean of our yeshiva, Rabbi Yitzchok Elchono. Rabbi Ries.
Yeshus, Cantor Beer, Moshe Yeshivatenu, distinguished Rabbanim, dignitaries, Morai Rabosai. It is not our place to say that a person died before his time. Nonetheless, I can say that at least from our perspective, it is unquestionably the case that Leon Kahn died way too soon. All of us feel deprived of his presence, of his cheerful and reassuring countenance, of his industrious spirit, of his passionate love for our community, for his people, and for his Yiddishkeit. We feel as if we have been punched in the stomach. He died for all of us way too early, way too quickly, and way too abruptly. For years, we took for granted when there was a Kollel Yom Rishon that Leon would be there. When there was any assembly, any event at yeshiva, whether a special shiur or a Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Leon was sure to be present with his smiling and engaging countenance. He was one of our Asara Batlonim, one of the holy people whose life revolved around the yeshiva and who injected life into our yeshiva. There is a halacha to cry over the loss of an Adam Kosher. If you had to place a picture next to this halacha, it would be that of Leon Kahn. He was the quintessential Adam Kosher. Straight, decent, a Yarei Shemayim, good-humored, forbearing and forgiving, passionate and pashut, all at the same time. Today, it is a mitzvah upon all of us to shed tears for this Adam Kosher. Leon Kahn deserves our tears. The Mishnah in the second parak of Pirkei Avos records a dispute. Ezohi derech tova shiyidbak baha adam. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked his Talmidim to go out and determine the ideal path that a person should pursue in life. There were many different opinions. Ayin tova, chaver tov, shachen tov, and so forth. Finally, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach said that the ideal trait is lev tov, to have a good heart. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai responded, Roe ani es divrei Elazar ben Arach mi divreichem shebechlal dvarav divreichem. This was the best answer of all. Because if you have a lev tov, if you have a good heart, you have all the milos, you have everything. Leon Cohen had a lev tov. That is who he was. What is a lev tov? The Bartanur explains that the heart is the seat of passion, that a person with a passionate spirit is able to summon all of the other kochos, is able to reach the heights of spiritual performance in this world. The Tiferes Yisrael explains that someone with a lev tov is a person shelibo tamid sameach umizuman lehitiv lakol, a person whose heart is always ultimately happy and always ready to deliver happiness to others. Rabosai, Leon Cohen was a lev tov in each of these ways. He was a person of tremendous heart, boundless passion, and abundant love, who wanted to share that passion with others. Through his davening, through his leadership of the Cantorial Council of America, through his priceless smile, and his indomitable spirit. I had the privilege of speaking to Leon many times in my office in the Beis Medrash, and there was something infectious about his personality, about his drive. I realize now that it was his lev tov. There was no question that Leon Cohen had a good heart. That was his essence. That is what he was. That is the gift that he gave all of us during his all-too-brief lifetime. I will say something else about his heart, and I mean this in a constructive and compassionate way. There's a principle in physics. It is called Newton's third law of motion. That for every single force, there is an equal and opposite force that counterbalances it. This is a necessary law of the physical universe. And I am sure that it existed in magnificent measure within Leon's beautiful family. May they be sustained and nourished in his chus. However, I am not sure that we as a community were truly able to counterbalance Leon's big heart in appropriate measure by reciprocating his love, his passion, and his ultimate and unquenchable faith in the goodness of everybody else around him. Without providing for Leon an equally big heart, a generosity of spirit as large as his own, I fear that perhaps we were simply not deemed worthy of preserving his lev tov in our midst. It is a terrifying thing to say, but echad shechabura shemei sidagu kol achabura. We must acknowledge our own shortcomings and learn from Leon's example to make ourselves into more worthy individuals. Leon, please forgive us for not fully appreciating your presence, for not fully utilizing your talents, for not fully reciprocating your love for us. We will try to make our hearts bigger, more loving, and more passionate, to follow your example and to pay proper tribute to your legacy. Please be Michaelos. I am very proud to be able to say that I was one of Leon's friends. Leon and I got along with each other very well, and we spoke regularly. I remember one of my last conversations with Leon revolved around Leon's wish to organize a special Kol Yom Rishon this year dedicated to Chazanus and to the work of the Bell School and the Cantorial Council of America, which he headed for so many years. There is a principle of mitzvah l'kayem divrei ames. We have been in touch thus far with the relevant individuals to make sure that this event materializes as Leon had envisioned, and that it be done in a manner that would make Leon proud and evoke that everlasting image that we all have in our heads of a smiling and beaming Leon Cohen. Let's work together to bring this event to fruition, and let us be inspired to bring the passion and the integrity of Leon Cohen to our own Avodas Hashem, so that we should be worthy of Leon Cohen, Zichrono Livracha, smiling down at us from the special place that I am sure he occupies b'shamayim. Tehei nishmaso tzrua b'tzror hachayim.
Leon served the Washington Heights congregation as Shliach Tzibur for 23 years. During this time, he organized and chaired the annual cantorial concerts, as well as the pre-Yamim Noraim lectures in tefillah and liturgy. I wish to call upon at this time the Mor D'Asra of the synagogue, the Washington Heights Synagogue, of Rav Ellis Block, to recite Tehillim.
Mizmor LeDavid, Adonai Roi Lo Echsar, Vinosteshe Yarbiseni, Almei Minucho Shina Haleni, Nafshi Yeshovev, Ankeni, Magle Tzedek Laman Shemo, Gam Ki Eleich Begeit Samoves, Lo Ivara, Ki Atoa Imodi, Shiftecha, Mishantecha, Hemo Yinachamuni, Taroch Lufonai Shulchan Neged Tzoraroi, Dishanto b'shemen roshi kosi revoya, ach tov v'chesed yirtufuni kol yamei chayoi, b'shifti b'beis Adonai li'orech yomim.
In recent years, Leon held a position with the Orthodox Union and served in the Kashrut division. He was often a liaison between the Cantorial Council of America, the Bell School of Jewish Music, and the Orthodox Union in inviting renowned personalities to CCA and Bell's programs. And during this period of time, and perhaps before this period of time as well, he established a close relationship with Rav Tzvi Hirsch Weinrib, and he invited Rabbi Weinrib to speak at several of our conventions. At a recent convention, which was held in New York City, Rabbi Weinrib may remember that he was the keynote speaker on behalf of Leon Kahn, who was the guest of honor. It is my honor to call upon Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Hirsch Weinrib, Executive Vice President Emeritus of the Orthodox Union for Divrei Nechama.
Thank you, Cantor Bear. I do indeed remember that dinner honoring Leon. Olav HaShalom. Leon and I had a relationship which predated his employment at the Orthodox Union, but it only became more intense and closer over the years that we worked as colleagues. In the parsha that we read, the Shabbos, so of course we read from Moshe Rabbeinu, Ho'ish Moshe Onov Miod, we call Ho'odom Asher Al Pnei Ho'adomo. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Onov. Onov is one of those words, one of those qualities that's very puzzling and one might even say paradoxical. Because often when we think of the word Onov, we think of a person who is humble in the sense that he shirks the public limelight, that he even shirks responsibility because, after all, I'm an Onov, who am I to be a leader, who am I to be a shliach tzibur, who am I to be the president of a cantorial association? I'm an onov. However, Moshe Rabbeinu was the example of a true onov. And a true onov is a person who is humble, but who understands and recognizes and is aware of his own God-given talents. A true Onov is a person who, although he is humble, asserts himself in the public arena and takes responsibility, takes achrayas. And finally, an Onov is a humble person who, because of his humility, is closer to the Ribono Shel Olam even than people who are endowed with qualities that one would think at first blush are greater even than humility. Let me explain what I mean in all of these three arenas. The Gemara says in Maseches Nedorim that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashre Shchinoso Elo Al Gibor V'Oshir V'Chocham V'Onov. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to inspire the spirit of prophecy, a person who was wealthy and wise and strong and humble. Of course, the question can be asked, and the Torah Tamima explains this beautifully. Is Ribono Shel'Olam interested in choosing for his Nevi'im people who are wealthy, people who are strong physically, people who are wise? Kadosh Baruch Hu, we understand, chooses an honor. He chooses people who are humble. Es dako shval ruach. Ribono Shel'Olam is with the humble person. But chacham, gibor, oshir. The Torah to me answers beautifully. If a person is not a chacham, and not a gibor, and not an oshir, but he's an onov, that humility doesn't say anything. Because he's humble, because he's got nothing. He's intellectually limited. He's impoverished. He's weak. But if a person is endowed with talents, endowed with skills, endowed with divine blessings, and still is humble, that's the true Anov. That's the person who has passed the test of Anova. So an Anov is a person who is gifted, as Leon was gifted, in so many ways. In his intelligence, the previous Rabbonim, Rosh Yeshiva, spoke about his attendance at this year and that year and this Yom Iyun and this Kolel Yom Rishon. He didn't just attend there. He understood the Masa Umatan. He understood the Shakla Vitarya. He understood the dialogue. And I know he understood it because he would come back after the Kolel Yom Rishon on Monday morning to the office and share with me the Divrei Torah that he heard. So he was a ganz feiner Chocham. An Oshir, he certainly was. Sameach b'chelko. I can't think of another example of a person who was so satisfied with his lot and so happy with all that he was blessed with his wife. She should have the strength to continue with his children, with his friends, with his family, with his mother. So he had all these gifts, but he was aware of these gifts, and these gifts brought him to another, where they could bring another person to the opposite of another. They brought him to another. We find, and Moshe Rabbeinu is a perfect example of this, that sometimes a person who is truly an onov, his initial response is, Mi onochi, who am I? Why should I take responsibility? Moshe Rabbeinu himself said, Shlach no b'yad tishloch, Ribono Shel'Olam, choose someone else. Yirmiyahu was averse to taking responsibility at first, till the Ribono Shel'Olam gave him extra encouragement. Precisely because of his anova, Leon stepped forward to roles of leadership in difficult capacities. Chazonis, perhaps recently a little less than 10, 15 years ago, it's getting a little better, but not so long ago, Chazonis was a real hard sell. And he attempted to sell it. And he sold it. He sold it in a number of ways. I personally have numerous memories of things we did together, talks that I gave for the Chazonim, etc. But especially the evening that he invited me to participate in Slichos, Leil Slichos in his shul. The guest chazan was Chazan Adler, now the chazan of the great synagogue in Yerushalayim. And his concept, Leon's concept, was that we should do something along the lines of what I'm privileged to do now, it's going to be 25 years this Tisha B'Av, to weave together Kinos and Divrei Torah. He said, why not weave together Slichos and Divrei Torah? So the chazan would say, a Slicha, and I would fill in with reflections about the meaning of the Slicha, with the contemporary relevance of the Slicha, with the connection of the Slicha to one's individual tshuva, where that person was holding in his own personal life, etc. It was a marvelous, marvelous evening. For me, I don't know, for the audience, I'm sure they enjoyed the chazan, but I know I enjoyed the opportunity to do that type of interaction. But this was Leon's concept of what chazanis was. Chazanis was indeed avodah shebelev. Chazanis was a way of elevating people. Chazanis was something that could go hand in hand with Talmud Torah. This was Leon's sense of responsibility. But then I want to speak about the special Yiras Shamayim, which a humble people, a humble person can acquire. I want to share with you a passage in the writings of the great Maharal Miprag, to be found in the Sefer Nesivo Solom, in the Nesivo Anova, a special section of his book, his holy book, which deals with humility. And he draws upon Maamar Chazal as Yerushalmi in Maseches Shabbos, which reads as follows. Masha osiso chochmo atoro l'rosho. Chochmo, wisdom, has a crown. And what chochmo uses as its crown, in other words, it's the spitz, the peak, the apex of wisdom, osiso anova ekev l'sul yoso. Anova takes what is a crown for chochmo, anova has it as the soul, S-O-L-E, under the heel. So something which is top priority for wisdom is something which humility can take for granted. It's Ekev L'sul Yosef. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Reishis Chochmah, what is the Reishis of Chochmah? What is the number one aspect of Chochmah? Yiras Hashem. All right, so Yiras Hashem is the crown for Chochmah. But what is Yiras Hashem for Anova? Dichsiv, Uchsiv, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Ekev Anova Yiras Hashem. That Yiras Hashem is the Ekev, is the heel, the bottom of the line, the bottom of the list for Anova. The Maharal develops this theme. He says, obviously, the message of this Maamar Chazal is that Anova supersedes Chochmah infinitely when it comes to its relationship to Yiras Shamayim. We know many Chachomim who are not Yirei Shamayim. We know many Chachomim who are far from Yirei Shamayim. But Anovim, real, truly humble people, they've got humility in their back pocket, or in the metaphor of the Medrash, of the Gemara, in their heel of the shoe. But then the Maharal says something which only the Maharal can say. Yiras Shamayim hu yoser gadol min hachochmah. Yiras Shamayim is greater than chochmah. V'hu katon min ha'anova, but it's lesser than anova. So in the list of priorities, Chochmah is at the bottom of the list, then comes Yiras Shamayim, the top of the list is Anova. Why is that? Ki ba'al ho Anova mitzad sheyesh bo mida'as kono. An Anov has within him some of his maker, with a capital M, some of his maker's intelligence, some of his maker's kavayochal character. An Anov has God in him. And therefore, yesh bo mala yosem in Yiras Hashem. Kibal Yorei Shamayim, if a person is a Yorei Shamayim, mitzad shehu olul el Hashem yisporach shehu ha'ilo, a person is a Yorei Shamayim has a subject-object relationship with God. God is the cause, Yorei Shamayim is the effect, the result. God is the ilo, the cause. The Yorei Shamayim is the Olul. The Yorei Shamayim is in reaction to God. He stands against, over, opposite God, and he reacts to God. That's the Yorei Shamayim. Fine. But Anova is Yoser Gedolah min Yiras Hashem. The Anova is greater than the Yorei Shamayim, writes the Maharal. Ki yesh lebal Anova hisdamus liyotzro. Because the Anov is not standing opposite God and relating to him and reacting to him. The Anov takes part, kavayochol, in God. He is like God. He has God within him in a certain way. Higher than the Yorei Shamayim. Yesh lo balanova hisdamus. He has some resemblance to God. The Yorei Shamayim is distant from God. He has fear of God, but God's over there and he's over here. The Onov is closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. Who do you want to be your Shliach Tzibur davening for you? If you have a choice between a Yorei Shamayim and an Onov, now that you know this Maharal, the Yorei Shamayim is wonderful, and that's one of the qualifications of a Baal Tefillah, of a Shliach Tzibur. But the Yorei Shamayim is still at some distance from Ribono Shel Olam. You want someone to serve as your Shliach Tzibur, who is Domer LaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is so close to the Ribono Shel Olam that Ribono Shel Olam can't help Kav Yochel but hear his tefillos. That's an onov, and that's what made Leon a Shliach Tzibur. I want to close with a vort that's in Yiddish. I was privileged long, long ago to be a little bit of a Talmud. I don't know if I can use the word Talmud, but I had a relationship with Rav Nissen Tolushkin, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha. I don't know how many of you have heard of him. Rav Tolushkin was a great, great poisek. I'm told that before Rav Moshe Feinstein came to the United States in the 1930s, the poisek, especially for Inyonei Mikvaos, was Rav Nissen Tolushkin. He was a Rav in Bronzeville. When I was in Yeshiva, he was the boichein. He was the person who gave examinations for smicha in the yeshiva I attended, Rabbeinu Yaakov Yosef. And a small group of us would go every Sunday for what we call nowadays shimush, for training. And we went to him maybe 10 or 12 Sundays. Rav Tolushkin was a strong Chabadske chosid, from the old school of Chabadske chassidim. And when he spoke about the Rebbe, he meant the Rebbe Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok, the Rebbe previous to the latest Rebbe. So I remember he quoted from him in Yiddish, Ribono Shel Olam vil, as a mensch soll werden hecher und hecher, und nicht breiter und breiter. God wants a person to be higher and higher, but not broader and wider. Now people are laughing because you think that means it's good to be tall, but it's not so good to be heavy. But that's not what the Rebbe meant. The Rebbe meant that people are supposed to grow. But if they grow in width, they're going to take someone else's space. They're going to occupy someone else's space. I'm standing here and you're standing here, om din tzufim, and if I become broader, it's inevitable that somehow I'm going to push you out of the way. Ribono Shel Olam doesn't want us to get breaker and breaker. He wants us to go hecher and hecher. Because you're not getting in anyone's way if you're going up, up, up. You're just getting closer and closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. And this is why the Maharal concludes that little passage and says that his proof of his thesis that an onov is close to the Ribono Shel Olam, closer in a sense than the Yorei Shamayim, because the Gemara says, Perikamah de Soiter, Rav Shechter referred to Maseches Soiter before, Ani es daka. Ribono Shel Olam says, I am with the humble person. I'm with him. Ani es daka. Klomar, Ki Hashem Yisporach, Mashre Shechinoso im Baal Anova, the Ribono Shel Olam instills his spirit, his Shechina, in the person who's humble. Ubo etzlo lihiyos imo. When Leon davened, Ribono Shel Olam was with him. Estako Shval Ruach. I want to close with a beautiful story. I need a source to be able to maintain in my closing remarks that there's a Shliach Tzibur in the Yeshiva Shalmaila. Up in the celestial realms, there's also a Shliach Tzibur, a Chazan. And Leon may not be the only one, he's certainly not the only Onov, but he's up there as a Shliach Tzibur at this very moment. The story is told about Rav Gustman, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, a great Rosh Yeshiva, a fascinating person. Besof Yomov, he was Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva Netzach Yisroel, in Rechavia and Rishalayim. He was on the Beis Din of Rav Chaim Moshe Grudzinski in Vilna when he was barely 20 years old. He was a Gaon Otzum. And he went through the war with all sorts of nisim and niflos, except that he had to see his son killed in front of his eyes by the Nazis, Yamach Shemom. So his son was killed. He came to Eretz Yisrael. This is going into the 1960s, maybe into the 1970s. And in one of the wars, unfortunately there's no lack of wars in Eretz Yisrael in recent times, he learned of a neighbor who lived there in Rechavia near the yeshiva who lost his son in battle. And Rav Gosman insisted that he wanted to go to be Menachem Oval, this bereaved father, and they say a few words to him. So he went to him, he told him, "You lost your son in battle. I lost my son in the Shoah, in the Holocaust. But I want to tell you what's happening now, B'Shmei Morom, in the heavens. My son was a Kodosh. He was killed al Kiddush Hashem. He is sitting in the pews. He's sitting in the audience, davening in the Yeshiva Shalmala. Your son, who was a soldier and died in defense of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, he is the Shliat Tzibur. He is the Shliat Tzibur. Because he led people in battle, my son was a victim. Your son was a leader. Your son was a balachrayas. He took responsibility. And therefore, he's the Shliat Tzibur. My son is in the back rows." These are words of Nichumim. If we can have any Nichumim of the loss of Leon, as Rabbi Ries said so eloquently and so passionately himself, who died so abruptly, so prematurely, much too soon. If we can have any nechumim, it is in the secure knowledge that with all of his kochos, but I would say particularly because of the koach of his anova, of his humility, he is the shliach tzibur, and he is mispalel right now for his family, for his friends, for his chaverim, for all who are here tonight, and for all of Klal Yisrael. And we can be assured that his tefillos, Yitz Hashem, will be heard. Thank you.
Leon maintained a strong relationship with his colleagues at the Cantorial Council of America and at the Bell School of Jewish Music. Often visited us, even late hours at night, to discuss matters relating to the organization. He was a true and sincere chaver. So we ask at this time for Cantor Sherwood Goffin to honor the memory of Leon with his recitation of Tehillim, and that will be followed by Cantor Joseph Malavani, who will conclude the Haskara with a Keil Molei Rachamim. Cantor Goffin.
We all miss Leon deeply. I miss him terribly. He was a dear friend. And I know that one of his favorite tehillim was Kuf Chof Ches, the Ashrei Kol Yerei Hashem, which he always sang. Perhaps it was because it spoke about wife, about child we loved so dearly, and because it spoke about Shalom Al Yisrael, peace. And Leon was a man of peace. This particular tehillim is recited in the German community that Leon was part of, Motzei Shabbos, every Motzei Shabbos. Leon's Shabbos on this world has ended. But now he is in the Shabbos Shabbosah in Shemayim. praying for all of us, for Shalom Yisrael.
Shir HaMalos Ashrei Kol Hirei Adonai HaHolech Bidro Yigia kabecho ki sohel ashrecho betovlo eshtecho ki gefen poriho biyahar kisei Ve'esecho Bonecho Kisilei zesim Saviv Leshuchadecho Hine Yevorach gaver yirei Adonai Yevorech echo Adonai mi Zion Urei betzuvirul shaloyim kol yemei
I ask you to please rise as Cantor Joseph Malavani will recite, chant the Kel Molei Rachamim.
Shalom.
gather together at Simchot. Thank you for coming.